This is Living the RV Dream, episode 252 for Friday, August
26, 2022. I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers! Hello, fellow pelican heads and happy travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, weekend warriors, schoolie builders. Welcome to the show. Welcome one more time. Happy Friday to all of you. And today coming to you from Bakersfield, California Republic, right here on the very close to the West Coast. Tomorrow we're going to... And if you know the answer to this, let me know. I'm going to ask at the RV resort when I arrive there. Is it pronounced Paso Robles or Paso Robles? You know, it's a wine region there, very, very important. In it's close to the, actually, to the California Central Coast, right? Not really. It's kind of between the Los Angeles area and the San Francisco area, somewhere there in between. And we're going there tomorrow. We're going to spend a couple of days there enjoying the area. And of course, it is another one of those sponsored stays with Sun Outdoors. Of course, the last time we spoke, I was in Rocky Mountain National Park, which at the time I mentioned not in my top 10. I might give it an upgrade after I edit the video. But my main thing was the inconvenience of having to have that timed entry into the park. That's my main complaint. Yeah, it is beautiful. It is probably more beautiful earlier in the year or later in the year when you have some snow on the mountains. At this time of the year, there was very little snow, of course. It's been hot. It's late August. And yeah, it's been hot, especially where I am right now. But I'll tell you about it later. That's the thing. For example, if you get to the park before 9 a.m., you can get in, no problem. You don't need a reservation. But then this particular park has two of the main visitor centers are actually outside the gate. So let's say, for example, I wanted to get out and have lunch at Estes Park, which is near where I was. I wouldn't be able to get back to the park to get back to Granby. I would have to, like, it's an extra hour just to go all the way around. So it's very inconvenient to have that timed entry. And I think if you have the timed entry, if you enter the park, they should put a stamp or something so you can go in and out, you know, because it's one of those parks that you may want to go in and out once or twice during the day when you're there. And then the second timed entry, the one that I was able to get was... And this was the highlight. The highlight of the whole park was Bear Lake, which is an extra... even if you get to the park at 9 a.m., before 9 a.m. and you're able to get in without the reservation, you do have to make a reservation to get to do the Bear Lake Road. And I didn't do any long hikes or anything like that, but just the hike around the lake, it's definitely worth the price of admission. And of course, the parking lot up there at Bear Lake was full. So you know, they do have a tram service that is fairly good. It was still going back to the park and ride was a little bit of an issue because there was more people than there were buses, but eventually we made it. And I've been told that there's a bunch of trails from Bear Lake to other smaller lakes like Dream Lake and Lake Haikaya and Emerald Lake that are definitely worth doing. So if and when I get back to Rocky Mountain National Park, I'll do those. Other than that, the main park road is beautiful. And then you get to the Alpine Visitor Center, which is at 12,000, over 12,000 feet above sea level. And yes, the views from up there are excellent. And it was cold, it was chilly. Luckily I had brought a sweater, you know, like a pullover sweater. But yeah, that was quite the adventure that we did. And of course I stayed at Sun Outdoors Rocky Mountain, which was a very good park. I met up with and I actually did a video with them. I might put a link to that video. If not, check them out. RV Texas Y'all is their channel. And they did one of those episodes that they call it Wing It, and they interview, you know, fellow YouTubers and whatnot. And this time it was yours truly, and that was a lot of fun, you know, getting to meet them in person. I have If you recall, I've had their sticker and Minute Teeny One in my original trailer. I had their sticker for quite a long time. So that's what I did. When I left there, I had to go into Denver, which was quite an adventure. Denver, not a very RV-friendly city if you want to go into town with the RV in tow, the trailer in tow, to pick up an Amazon package. And I picked, and I mean, you know, out of all the Amazon drop-off locations, I went to this place called Pets Paradise, which has like a large parking lot next to it. But even then, the city around it is so dense that it was quite the adventure to pick up that package. In fact, I did not recall the Denver being so dense. But in any case, that was fun. Then I took I-70 West, which to me is one of the great engineering marvels of the interstate highway system, taking that I-70 West, you know, all the way to Utah. Really, it's one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful, interstate drive. I'm not talking about like blue highways, I'm talking about interstate drives. That's gotta be the most stunning. And even though the weather was not like the most cooperative, I think that drive is best done like on a clear day in late June, when you still have some snow on the mountains and you can see for miles and miles. You know, when I was in Colorado, it was for the most part cloudy, overcast. It rained actually quite a bit, a couple of times. So not the best, but it's near Leadville, which is, by the way, a super cute town. I want to go back. I didn't get a chance to stop Leadville. I believe it is the highest incorporated city in the United States. It's like 11,000 feet and change. But I'm subscribed to his YouTube channel. Is SUV RVing. His name is Tristan. He has a special site, you know, like a Patreon site that is called Adventure Know How, and he lists a bunch of boondocking spots where he stayed at. He has stayed at all over the western, mostly western United States, and this was the one in Colorado. And you know, it's through a dirt road. Pretty much any vehicle could go through that dirt road. Now the site is smaller than I was expecting, and I was able to camp, but it's mostly like a tent camping or SUV camping, or if you have like a Class B or a small Class C, it would be more suitable. I was able to make it, and I spent the night, and it's very much off-grid. I'm not going to reveal the exact coordinates, but it's about 10 miles south of Leadville on this road. It's national forest land in there. You have to go through all these tiny little lakes, and then you get to the site on the right there. I might give you the coordinates if I get to it, but it's very nice. It's next to Big Union Creek, and you can, I mean, from my RV you couldn't, but if you're in a tent or in an SUV with your, if I had my windows open, I would definitely have been able to hear the creek from the RV, and it's very nice in that sense. Very off grid. There was no cell phone signal of any kind. In fact, if I hadn't had Starlink, I would have been completely cut off from the outside world. But, you know, I had Starlink, I had my full lithium battery, so it was good. Now, the next day, my plan was to go to Aspen and see the Maroon Bells and all that, but the weather wasn't quite, you know, that picture-perfect weather. I mean, it was on and off. It would get sunny for a few minutes and then cloudy again. So I decided to just push it west and go into Utah. Which is, eventually the goal was to make it to Las Vegas by Wednesday. Ely was flying to Las Vegas on Wednesday, and then come out to, or Tuesday, was it Tuesday? And then come out to California, because, as I said, I have another sponsored stay at Sun Outdoors Paso Robles in a couple of days. But I always wanted to stay on Utah State Route 128. There's a bunch of campgrounds. I believe in the past you were allowed to boondock, you know, unannounced, you know, dispersed camp at certain places. Now you can only camp at these designated locations. But it is all boondocking. So I was able to boondock there for a while. It was kind of hot during the day. but then at night it cools down nicely. And I was able to, there was a storm, and I'm going to post those pictures on Instagram probably today, today for you guys, tomorrow for me. So you know, I always record this a day before. But one of the most beautiful sunset rainbows. Oh man, that was awesome. That was awesome. And it was raining, so I came out. I took some pictures. It really cooled me down, believe it or not. And it really cooled down after that, you know. During the day, it was kind of warm. But then in the afternoon, and then the next day, I did the craziest thing. You're not going to believe it. I did this road in Canyonlands National Park. It is two roads, actually. The first one is called the Schaefer Trail, and the Schaefer Trail normally turns into the White Rim Road. The White Rim Road, it was not recommended. It had been raining for days in a row, and even the Schaefer Trail, those switchbacks coming down the mountain were not for the faint of heart. Let me tell you, in hindsight, I don't know if I would have done it again. But I wanted to test out the new Silverado, the new Trail Boss. And this was the place to test that truck out. And it performed wonderfully. And, it wasn't as much the mud. The most uncomfortable part for me was it was very rocky. There were many rocks on the road. Like, it hadn't been graded for a long time. And it had rained a lot, so it was very eroded, and pretty large boulders, you know. And I was afraid, you know. I've never done that. I've never had a high clearance vehicle with the heavy duty tires like the Silverado. So it was downhill. So I was kind of afraid for a little bit that it was gonna slip or whatever. No, that truck is made for this kind of thing. And then I took what is called the Potash Road, which is another dirt road, or sometimes a non-existent road that goes all the way back to Moab, which is the main town, Moab, where you can rent a Jeep to take that road or whatnot. Yeah, that Potash Road, for the most part, was all right. It was a rough dirt road, not too much washboard, but in some parts, the road was washed out. So there was really no road. You have to kind of guess where the road would have been and ford a couple of creeks. And the low four on the Silverado, and it turned out great. Of course, I returned to my campground a little late because they took a lot longer to do that road, and I didn't pay for a second day because as soon as I got back, the new truck, freshly minted with all that red mud from Utah, I hitched up and head west on another beautiful road trip. Another road is Utah Highway 12. And if you're ever in Utah, that's the road you have to take. It goes basically from Torrey, which is where I stayed the second night. I stayed at that Thousand Lakes campground, which I stayed there once already. And I took that all the way to Bryce Canyon, which is where the road pretty much ends. But it goes through Escalante, it goes through so many, the Huckback, which is an area where you have drop-offs on both sides of the road. It is one of the most picturesque drives you can have in the United States, Utah Highway 12. And then after that, I came all the way down to Las Vegas. That was the whole second day in Utah, or third day in this case. And I arrived in Las Vegas last Monday. Illy flew down on Tuesday. We did a little bit of a trip down around town on Wednesday. We actually went to this casino. It's called Circa Resort and Casino. It's a new resort, not on the Strip, but on the old part of town, the downtown area. And, it looks very nice and flashy from the outside. But first of all, inside, you can tell there's something odd about it. And I went to the bathroom, of course, and the craftsmanship, it looked like it's even broken tiles. I mean, it wasn't all that I don't know, no craftsmanship whatsoever in the building of the building. And the staff was like, maybe they're all new, it's a brand new resort, so they weren't like the friendliest or like the most enticing, you know, like had they approached us differently, we would have spent more money, let's put it that way. And then I was wearing my what was that national park, the Glacier National Park t-shirt, and the rooftop bar had like a very strict dress code, and you could have a t-shirt, just not with anything on it. So they didn't let me go up to the rooftop bar. So we decided to spend our money somewhere else, which actually we didn't. We didn't spend any more money that day. We went back to the RV resort, and you know, actually we did have. We both had steaks at the Fridays where we were staying at the Las Vegas Sam Town KOA. They have the full casino with restaurants and whatnot, and Fridays was the one that was open, so. We stay there, and then from there, and that was Wednesday. Thursday, which is today, we drove all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada, where it was 110 degrees Fahrenheit yesterday, to Bakersfield, California, where it was 106 degrees or something like that when we arrived here. And I'm happy to report they did not confiscate any fruits or vegetables at the California border like they usually do at the checkpoint there. They just let us go through, and I'm like, really? Okay, I'll take it. That we did. We stopped briefly at Barstow, which is kind of the halfway point between Las Vegas and Los Angeles in this case, but we didn't go down to Los Angeles. We took the road here to Bakersfield through the Mojave Desert, and then through this part of the Sierra is not very high, but we kind of went through the Sierra, and now we're here. And tomorrow we're going to Paso Robles, and we're still kind of debating whether we're going to take the valley up into like the Sacramento area and up that way, or just take the PCH. We're thinking the PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway. We took it years ago with the California Cruiser, as we rented a vehicle. We would never take it with an RV, so we might do that. I'm going to see if I can get a site at Julia Pfeiffer State Park, which is there by the Macquay Rocks and Macquay Falls, and work our way north, because we have another sponsor staying in Coos Bay, Oregon, in about 10 days. And then after that, we're going to resume, if you will, the Lewis and Clark journey. So we're just going to make a beeline to western Montana, where we left off, and it should take us a little over a week just to retrace their steps over the mountains in Idaho all the way to the Pacific, you know, to Cape Disappointment State Park, and then down to Astoria and Seaside. We may make it all the way down to Cannon Beach, and then maybe Portland. Maybe we'll finish our adventure in Portland, and then we do have to make a beeline for Indiana, but more about that on a future episode. Those have been our adventures and our impressions of the different places over the past week. And by the way, last episode I was tired, wasn't I? Yeah, last episode I was totally pooped. But today I'm still a little tired. It's been also a long driving day, but we're in California and we're together, and the next week, it's going to be fun. Lots of work, but lots of fun as well. So we'll work hard and play even harder. How about that? We have a couple of voicemails, and then it is until next week.
Hey, Robert, this is John in Superior, Wisconsin. I just wanted to leave you a message and thank you for all of the great videos that you've done. It's been such a big help to me this year. I've taken the summer off from work to do a lot of traveling, heading to the west into the sunset. And I've watched a lot of your videos before I've gone to some of the places I've been to. And it's really helped figure out exactly what I want to focus on when I'm there. Because as you know, there's just so much to do. You can't stop everywhere and do everything. So it really helps to have an idea of what's there, especially Death Valley. I found to be especially especially helpful figuring out what I wanted to do in my short time there before it got too hot. So I hope you keep up the travels. I don't know if I haven't come across it yet. I'm not sure if you've ever made it to Lake Superior to do the Circle Tour, but I'd highly recommend that. There's a lot to do, especially on the Minnesota shore. Well worth the trip. So thanks for everything. I hope you keep up your adventures.
Hey, thank you, John, for your message. And I have been to the upper peninsula shore of Lake Superior, but I haven't done the Minnesota side yet. And trust me, it is on the list, but maybe next year, maybe next year at some point, maybe in fall. I don't know. I don't know exactly when, but I kind of already have winter and spring planned in my head. No reservations, nothing yet, but I definitely want to do that north shore of Lake Superior, Duluth, and all that. And I've seen other videos, and it looks beautiful, so definitely want to explore that area. And thank you for your message, and thank you all for listening this week. It's gonna be kind of a rush, shorter trip. Actually, next week we're gonna spend 5 nights at this place, so it's gonna be a little bit of a break. By the way, for those of you following my mom's health, they finally figure out what she has, and she's doing better. And hopefully she'll be able to make a trip with me sometime in fall. So we'll see. I know I have to. I wanted to talk about something else, but right now it escapes me because it's still like 80 degrees inside the camper. The Truma Aventa is having a very hard time coping with the extreme heat, especially when you spend the whole day in the 100 degree plus weather with the air conditioner off, because you're, you know, en route. And when you arrive and the trailer is 100 degrees inside, it's very hard for it to cool down. It takes a long time for it to cool down. Hopefully by the time we go to sleep, it'll be fine. But in any case, big make sure to tune in to the live stream tonight, Friday, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. where I am, most likely from Paso Robles, California. Till next week, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free. Are we living the RV lifestyle? I'm free in my RV.